Yes?
Mr. James Rowe.
All right. Come here, boy. Hello?
Hello, Mr. President.
What is this you slighted me around town and called me Franklin Delano Hoover?
You heard that already? It's been a marvelous story.
Oh, that's been going all over town.
Not I. It was a newspaper man told somebody. He told me, and I thought it was
you're going to circulate good stories. You're going to circulate good stories. You ought to circulate the one that actually happened.
What was that?
As a young senator from Republican state, young congressman from Republican state, said to old senator from Republican state, said, Senator, said, he had a pretty good day, didn't he? Didn't leave much for us in the Republican Party. And the old senator said, oh, yes, yeah, we all right. Said, he left a good deal for us. Said, what did he leave? Well, he said, we can always declare war.
That's marvelous. I thought that was a great speech, Mr. President. It was marvelous.
I thought the finest comment was from Goldwater, didn't you?
Now, what did he say? I haven't seen that.
I'm giving that Goldwater story on the front page of Washington Star.
Here, take this, hand it to that boy. I'll read it to you in a minute. He said he had Roosevelt up.
Mm-hmm. He certainly did that.
I thought that was pretty good.
What?
Well, open it. Just turn the key.
Well, I talked to Scotty today. Scotty Rustin called
me. He was the one who told me that.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
And he was very enthusiastic. If he writes the way he talks, you've got a singing column.
They tried to force me to go see De Gaulle. Well, he said he'd be here in February, and I told him that'd be fine. And then they came back 2 or 3 days later and said he thought I ought to come to Paris, and I told him I couldn't come. And then they came back and said that, no, this is not the one. I want the last edition of the Star. It's a red line. It's got the Goldwater story on the front page. So then they urged me to go to a neutral country, and we told them that we saw McCormick and Hayden back there in a chair, no vice president, and we didn't think we'd better be traveling this year around out of the United States. And today he comes up and says, well, he ought to come to Martinique, and he's a leak destroyer with Drew Middleton in the Paris Bureau. And I told him again that I wasn't going to leave this country unless there's something exceptional, some world importance. Do you know any reason why I should?
I can't think of any.
They were going to use the Post and the New York Times to make me do it, threaten me, the French embassy did, and we just told them that we would be glad to go anywhere to meet General Gaulle anytime, and we had an unusual situation. No vice president, very short session, convention's coming up, election year, and we've got the president of Italy coming here from Rome, we've got the prime minister of Great Britain coming here, we've got the German chancellor coming here, and we'd be glad for him to come as he'd planned to come with President Kennedy, or as he accepted to come with us. I would be glad to meet him any other time, but just this year, we just didn't think we ought to be running over the country because we wouldn't have time to do justice to it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right. You know, just for the moment, the world is, it's not tranquil, it's quiet, and the real problems are here. It's what you said in your speech.
Senator Goldwater's campaigning here for the Republican nomination for president. Listen to by radio to President Johnson's State of the Union. He told reporters, I won't comment in detail until I've read it, but it's my impression he out Roosevelt, out Kennedy, and even made Truman look like a biker. There's no one single field in which he's not going to move in and take over your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was a good speech. I thought it was a very good speech. I listened to it. I was there, heard it. And if you left, I agree with Goldwater, if you left anything out, I can't think of what it was.
War. He didn't declare war. I didn't declare war on anybody.
You even got a laugh out of Harry Bird. I was sitting with his... Stimson, who married Tom Bird's daughter, is a friend of mine, Republican. And I said, well, I don't know what it means, but he looked him right in the eye, and he said, at least he got a laugh from Harry Bird.
What was it talking about?
Huh?
What was that talking about?
You're talking about taxes. You just said that 1 year was enough for study taxes, and you'd like to get it out. And I don't know whether you meant to give the impression, but you looked as though you swung and turned and were looking straight at him. From where I was sitting, and he laughed. And Tom was just sitting there together, and both of them laughed. He laughed heartily.
Yeah.
But I thought it was fine. I don't think you've made a mistake yet.
I wish you'd start accumulating some stuff for a good political speech. I've got to make one in Florida in February.
I will indeed, sir. What
Take
do you
this
make?
One.
What kind of a speech?
Democratic, $100 dinner.
All right, sir.
It's got to be real humor and got to be short, 1,200-1,500 words, not over.
Fine.
I'll work on it and I'll see you in bed, too.
All right.
You want
care.
To talk to one of your girlfriends here? Wait a minute.
I do indeed.
She's putting her glasses on, looking like Miss Minerva here, and come over here to lecture me to try to make me go home.
Hello, Jim.
Hello, Lady Bird. I hope you can get him home. The one impression I had, and I like both those men, but to see your president and see that background of McCormick and Hayden makes me wish he'd have worked 4 hours a day and no more.
I know. That's one of the...
It's a shocking sight, isn't it?
The three sights that I kept my eyes on, the two meetings that we have been in there, and I know just what you're talking about.
Yes, it's part of the color of McCormick's hair, but you know that compared to him, they look ashen and old, and you take care of them.
I'll try.
I know it's hard work.
And I want to see you soon.
Well, we'll see you soon.
Lots of love.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Waiting.